Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Welcome back into it. Diving in on a Monday. Got some football, actually. Actually, we have a sports equinox tonight.
It is tonight,
You guys are aware of that, Mac?
Yep.
So you have NFL, NBA, MLB, hockey.
You know, last night I was looking for actually something to put on the second TV sports-wise. There's nothing out there yesterday except for Sunday Night Football, and tonight we get everything.
Yeah. There was NBA, but it wasn't good.
They were smart. There were six games yesterday in the NBA, and they were all like, yeah, we're not competing with the juggernaut of the NFL.
When did they play?
2:30, 5, 6, 6:30, 7, and I think 7:30 were the games.
You should not compete on a Sunday.
And they weren't.
At all.
They weren't.
You know?
Like tonight, the World Series competes with the NBA or with the NFL. We were having this conversation privately.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, they punted on Monday night,
right,
which, depending on where you're at, obviously they'll have great viewership because it's Pittsburgh, it's the Giants, there's, you know, fandoms on both, and it's one of those things where it's like, well.
But you're losing the New York market. Well, I don't know if you're losing the New York market.
There's going to be
a lot of
TVs in New York.
There are, but.
Because aren't you, if you're a Giants fan, you're a Yankees fan?
Okay, yeah. If you're a Giant fan, you're a Yankee fan. So you're going tonight, I mean, but the Giants suck so bad, and Daniel Jones is a disgrace. And then you have the Yankees, who are now down 0-2. Aaron Judge is a disgrace.
Oh, no.
No, he is. I mean, it's terrible in the playoffs. Did you guys get that meme from like 25 people yesterday? Hello, are you there? And it's a picture of Aaron Judge. They go, what does this mean? It means I didn't show up today. You know, one of the.
I love that.
It was like, I got it from like 15 people yesterday, right? My sister and I are like trying to tell my father, he's not very good in the playoffs. Well, he's great in May. It doesn't matter.
So
you've got a Yankee team that's down 0-2 in the World Series, coming home for their first World Series home game in 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Giants at the Steelers, and the Giants aren't very good. Like, I don't know. What gets your attention tonight? I think it's got to be the World Series, right?
So I was talking about Aaron Judge, about the investigation.
Yeah.
Rob Reinhart, do you know who that is?
I don't know.
Okay,
I know
so
Rob Reiner.
Yeah, he likes cheeseburgers.
Is he still with us?
I think so. Rob Reinhart. Covering all things sports for the Herald since 2024, previously SI Now and Bleacher Report, Auburn alum, and all opinions are my own. Have a news tip, DM me.
Uh-huh.
He's location is New York.
Okay.
He identifies as a journalist and joined April 2024. He has 3,300 followers, follows 368, and he writes up this report, breaking news. Aaron Judge is under investigation for using PEDs per source. The MLB received an anonymous tip last week and are actively investigating the allegation. Judge is set to undergo a drug test ahead of Game 3 Monday night.
We'll see. I mean, he's the only person reporting that right now. Is there anybody that you've heard of reporting
I think this is not to
poo-poo it, but I'm just wondering.
I'm just saying popped up. It was one of those on the John reads.
Yeah.
I know that's probably TMI, but
no,
it was just,
I think that's
it was
why
one
you
of those,
have hemorrhoids.
Yeah. It's one of those just like scrolling on the phone. And all of a sudden I saw that. I'm like, wait a minute. First off, who's Rob Reinhart? Second off, where's this report? He's got a full report on it. I don't want to bore people, but it was on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I was just like thinking like, please.
When was that posted on Twitter?
20 hours ago.
So it's been almost a full day and nobody said anything about it.
I mean, there are 777 comments, 13,000 likes on it.
How many retweets are on that?
3,100.
3,100. Look, obviously it's gaining a lot of traction, but I haven't heard it from anybody else. Like, you haven't heard the ESPNs or the Foxes of the world,
right? The first comment just says, well, they ain't working.
God. Of course that was the first comment on there.
Yeah,
right?
Then there's just a bunch of, like, other stuff, and I don't know. So, like, interesting that popped up in my feed. I'm just like, I don't really know about all this. I don't know who this guy is. Never heard of him. And that's interesting because the World Series.
No, I'll be interested to see if that thing picks up steam, if anybody talks about it, if it's refuted, how it's handled. But 20 hours and to not get a and yesterday was, I guess, a workout day. I don't know if they met with the media.
They said he's going to get tested before Game 3 tonight.
Okay, so. Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, could have been tested yesterday at the workout day if they met. I need more than that guy, right? Like, where has the follow-up been, right?
And, I mean, all your comments are just going to be flooded with either Dodgers fans or Yankees fans.
Yeah.
But would be a very crushing blow.
Crushing blow to Major League Baseball.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, that's their MVP.
Yeah, yeah.
If he tests positive, does that mean we give it to Bobby Witt Jr.?
I wonder if they voted already.
I think they have. I think they end the voting as the playoffs start.
Okay.
Because obviously I don't think you get votes in the playoffs.
No, you don't. It doesn't count for the postseason. I mean.
Because if you did, this guy's MVP.
Cortez delivers. Freeman hits the ball to right field. She is gone! Gibby! Meet Freddie! Game one of the World Series!
Those are the kind of decisions that get you fired in New York.
Oh, God,
I hadn't pitched in 6 months. Right. Like, yeah, I go out there, walk Mookie Betts. We should be able to be all right, and it's over.
And the season's done.
Unreal, man. I mean, unreal moment. First ever walk-off slam in World Series history.
It's crazy, right?
And I watched it live.
I know.
I mean, I literally go, they're going to walk Mookie Betts. I was like, okay, fair.
I would have walked Mookie Betts, too, though.
Was it a Kurt Gibson moment?
It was. Yeah. It really was. I mean, that was my home run thing. Not that I ever hit one, but, you know, like, you'd always do the Kurt Gibson.
The pump fist. On one leg.
And the thing about it is, and I'm taking this for truth because I want it to be true. They say that home run that Freddie Freeman hit was at 8:37 LA time, which was the exact same time Kirk Gibson hit his home run.
That's weird.
Like, I saw that yesterday. I'm getting like the chills now because no other sport does what baseball does.
They just had those
when it comes to that kind of stuff, right?
That's interesting.
They said they were both hit at 8:37 Pacific time.
Both hit to right field.
Both
in
hit to
Dodger
right field
Stadium.
In Dodger Stadium to win game one of the World Series.
God, Kirk Gibson, hell of a mustache.
Oh, my God. So I got a funny Kirk Gibson story for you. So he came to Kansas
Big
City.
Big dude, right?
Yeah, he was a pretty big guy. Yeah, yeah. He'd been sick, I think, recently. But he was a Royal at the tail end of his career. And this story has been obviously relayed to me by Don Fortune over the years. And it's like, it's really remarkable because Kirk Gibson is in the locker room with his son, right? And you know, Don goes over to meet Kirk Gibson and his son's there. And he says, hi, I'm Don. Good to meet you, whatever the case may be. And he shakes the son's hand, right? Hi, I'm Don. Nice to meet you. And the son shakes his hand and doesn't say anything. He says, Kirk Gibson hits the son in the back of his head with his hand and goes, tell the man your effing name. Only used the entire word, didn't say.
Jeez.
So that's Kirk Gibson in a nutshell right there, like throwing at his own kid on Father's Day.
He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle-tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, oh, man, we gotta figure this out.
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson, with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It's a Monday at 7:25. We are really hitting it today, boys. It is Derek Johnson time, which is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you, and also brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers, local number 2. DJ, how's it feel to be 7-0, bud?
Man, it feels great. It seems like a broken record. We're going to be doing this for a while this year. I don't see us losing too many games, man. It's just, the Chiefs and Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, they got this rolling out right now.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I've never seen a grown-ass man in my life like Chris Jones yesterday when he ripped that running back, Alexander Mattinson, down in the backfield with one hand.
Yeah. That's just what he does. Like, it's getting to a point where it's not surprising. Like, certain things should be surprising, certain things that we do, but it's not, just because we've been doing it on a consistent basis, especially the defense. I mean, Chris Jones is so disruptive. I played with him for a few years when he was a young lad, but now he's a straight killer. He's always had it in him. And being able to be Nick Bolton, being able to be Drew Tranquil, be able to be Chanel and those guys, man, I would love to play behind Chris Jones because he's gonna do whatever he can to be disruptive in the pass game and the run game. And it's not only him, it's everybody. The whole defense, they're rock stars, man. This is a defense-led team, believe it or not. And it's showing up every week.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to get more into the defense with you because they have not given up more than 30 points since the Super Bowl against Philadelphia. Okay, like, I mean, that's how long it's been since they've given up 30 points. How difficult is it to do what this defense is doing week in and week out?
It's hard. It's hard just because offenses are very smart. They figured out a way to get easy yards, get easy pitch and catches in the run game or the pass game. And regardless of the team and the record, offenses are really good. Their system works. But it just seems like every time they go against Spags' defense, oh, man, Spags was – I mean, it was like poetry in motion. He kept – when he sends pressure, especially yesterday, when he was sending pressure – he was making sure that he got two on the back. That's hard to do. When you can get two on the back, that means somebody's open and the quarterback's running for his life to rush and throw the ball. And who gets the benefit is the DBs back there. They can go make plays and look good. So hats off to Spags and just being able to draw up some things that just make offense scratch their head. And when you can get two on the back, that's what you want. That's like an idea. If you can get two on the back, you can get the quarterback running and making some quick decisions that does not favor them.
You know, it's amazing to watch them just step it up every single week and make the plays when the plays need to be made, too. It's not like they're just going out there and they're playing with a big lead and they can just kind of hang out. They're coming up and making big-time plays when they need them to get the ball back, fourth down drives, whatever the case may be. Like that goal line stand that they had, the other day. Like, every single week they're doing something, DJ, on defense where you're just like, what in the hell, man?
Yeah, that's a great point. Just because that is true. It is very easy. I wouldn't say very easy. It's easier to go out to a game where you're up and you got a 14-point lead, 2-possession lead. Like you can play with house money. But that's not what's happening. We're having some close games, but we still keep our confidence because we kind of know who we are, and we're aggressive, exotic defense, and we're going to come after you. Even if when it's third down, it's money down, Spags is going to dial them up. You don't know where they're coming from, but it's happening. Just playing for it and to actually get out there and get a turn, offense turn the ball over, kind of a fluke tip ball or whatnot. But, for defensive side of the ball, what we think is, hey, it doesn't matter what the offense does. We have to play defense. Regardless of where we play at on the field, we got to play defense. And that was a great example of yesterday being in the red zone, inside the 5-yard line, 4 straight downs. I mean, that takes confidence. That takes the heart away from other teams when they can't score. And every time we stop them first down, second down, third down, I was like, oh, we're getting more confidence. They're not going to score. I just knew they wasn't going to score. And hats off to everybody on the defense.
When you're on the defensive side, like the Raiders were, and you see that fourth quarter kind of dwindling away from Patrick Mahomes and the offense, like, obviously the job of the defense is to get off the field as soon as possible, but that's also got to disrupt the offensive side as well, knowing that their play calling is changing minute by minute as they see the clock disappear. Patrick Mahomes almost has like a great offensive scheme, but also has a good defensive scheme against the opposing offense because of how he can manipulate a drive.
Yeah, he definitely can. This is not the year that the Chiefs offense under Pat will break a bunch of records. Like I'm okay with that. They are so efficient when it comes to the run game. They're not killing it in the area, but they are being very efficient and playing situational football. They play the best for situational football. I mean, we've been in for a 7-0 thing. We've been in a lot of close games where you would think we would be really I wouldn't say blow teams out, but like really have leads, and we hadn't had that. I think that helps us just to know that we can play in close games. I kind of look at everything in an optimistic way, but you're exactly right. Pat Mahomes does not get enough credit. Obviously, his arm, he gets enough credit with that, but just being able to extend plays. I mean, every time something breaks down, he makes a play. Like, every time. He almost 100%. I'm like, golly, that's batting pretty good for your team. But he knows who he is. And if he knows how to manipulate the ball and make you jump, make you stop a little bit. I mean, it's funky. Like it was a play late in the game. I'm like, I always look at things from a defensive perspective. And Pat hiked the ball, and I'm looking. I'm like, oh, nobody's open. So he held the ball. You know, I got nervous a little bit. And after a while, he's down the field making a run or you know, no look pass or somebody's coming out of their plaster coverage, and then he's dumping it over their head. I'm like, man, this guy can't do wrong.
Do you know the run two on what, 3rd and 12, and he gets 13 yards on a bum ankle? Or I mean, like it's to me, I love watching Patrick Mahomes run because and I've said it before, and people want to throw eggs at me, but I think he's the most efficient and best running quarterback in the NFL because every one of his runs is a dagger in the heart of the opposition.
That is true. That is true. You didn't say the fastest or the most athletic. That is exactly right. That's what happens every time. If you look at any of his scrambles, all of his scrambles, he doesn't make many mistakes. Like over the years, I think he runs a little bit more now. Because back then it was more about run, look this way, throw across your body, and people are kind of plastering their coverage or staying with their guys, and now he has to get past the defensive lineman, and he's doing a great job, man. Pat knows who he is, and the Chiefs are just on a roll, man. I love it.
And getting Kelce back involved too. I mean, finally getting into the end zone was big. I know there's a lot of naysayers out there about Travis still for what they expect him to have 100 yards and 5 touchdowns in every game. But I mean, he was back to his old tricks yesterday too.
Yeah, that's what Travis does. I mean, Travis is a crafty veteran tight end that knows that he can catch anything. He can run great routes. He still can give you some yak yardage if you don't double him. Kelce's going to get off. He's going to get off. So they have to go back to trying to double him, and then you open up Werther. You open up Hopkins, which it was great to see Hopkins in there. He's going to help us down the stretch, catch some balls on third down. So it's, man, we're moving up, and we're seven and oh, and we're getting better.
I want to look into the future real quick, DJ. If you're okay with that, we can do like the reading of the palms here. When this team acquires Isaiah Pacheco back, what's the defensive mindset against this team when they have Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco?
You have to, as good as Pacheco is and Kareem Hunt being crafty veteran now, you have to make the Chiefs run the ball, which is kind of sucks for you. You know, you never go into a game and say, I dare you to run it, but we have to establish the run even more just to put the pressure off of Mahomes. He's going to always get that max coverage, that double coverage on certain guys. He's going to always get two high safeties a lot just because he's that dynamic. That's just who he is. And we're going to have opportunities to run the ball, and we got to take advantage of it, which I will think we will. And then people are going to have to adjust through that. So you're going to, I don't think coverage will change much, but I think we will be able to run the ball even more because we'll have a two-headed monster now.
And with Hopkins, as we mentioned, we get him in for a little bit yesterday, a couple of nice plays, but now with the extra day, not till Monday Night Football next week, I think a week from tonight we see DeAndre Hopkins kind of have his breakout party in Kansas City.
Yeah, he will. Man, it's the playbooks around the league are so thick. So thick. It's so much information to learn, even though everybody kind of does the same thing, but there's so much terminology that goes into a playbook, and DeAndre Hopkins is going to get more acclimated with the system, and Andy Reid and those guys, they know how to get superstars involved, and Hopkins will be no different. I can't wait. Just the longer, I mean, every week I think he's just going to get more and more balls, and he's going to come in handy, especially on third down. That's I mean, he can catch anything.
DJ, we appreciate the time. We look to go to 8-0 with you and talk to you. I guess it'll be before the Monday Night Football game next week against Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. All right, y'all take it easy.
All right, man. Derek Johnson there, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you, and Sheet Metal Workers, local number 2. So saying DeAndre Hopkins is going to have himself a...
Next week's the week. Yeah, he's going to have himself a game next week. A little too early to get and have a huge game, but still, I thought very, very effective in the game on Sunday.
I mean, we saw it this week for a glimpse.
The Raiders are excellent on third down defense. Second in the league. Their best since 2001. Here comes a blitz. Mahomes near side. Caught! DeAndre Hopkins with a diving catch goes down on his left hip and points the right hand forward for a first down at the 46 and a gain of 12 yards.
So we saw a little glimpse of it there.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times he was targeted, but he had 2 for 29. In that game, I was really hoping that they would target him for like a 25-yard catch.
What do we say, about 40 yards or so, 4 to 5 yards?
We were a bit off. We said anywhere from like 4 to 5 catches for anywhere from like 40 to 65 yards.
Yeah, so he ended up with, let me pull it up here.
2 for 29.
Pass receiving DeAndre Hopkins, you're right, 2 for 29, but targets was 3.
Mm. So
14 and a half yards a catch. You take that every day, right?
That's super, good. Super,
and he'll look at him more once he has more time with
him. Of course, yeah.
And I'm sure he was given like 4 or 5 routes to run.
Not a lot.
Hey, we need you on a couple third down plays. It'll come up, I guarantee you. Boom, right out of the chute. All right, did your job. There we are.
And you know, first drive, DeAndre Hopkins gets involved. That's what Andy Reid normally does. And you got him acclimated. And now, again, with the extra day this week, it's going to be a full crash course for DeAndre Hopkins. Expect DeAndre Hopkins to be big on Monday night next week.
You'll see that on our Instagram page on 96.5 The Fan. That'll be Bob's pick this week. Take the over on DeAndre Hopkins catches and yards.
How about the Bears?
To the left, McLaren. Oh. And that's where Jaden Daniels is eyeballing. Jaden Daniels sifting back, being pressured. Jaden Daniels hemmed into the pocket, looking for blockers, looking for something. He's got plenty of time. Launches deep pass into the area of the end zone.
He caught it!
It's caught by Noah Brown. He was the tip man, and this place is now gone into bedlam mode. Washington with a miracle finish.
That's the Bears radio call. I got to think the Commanders was better.
3, Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires, heads towards the end zone. It is
Did you say take that?
Oh my God, that was wild. We're sitting there watching that game yesterday as it's taking place, and Jim Nance at one point at the end of the game, he goes, there are no words, right? There are no words for what they say. And my wife immediately looks at me. She goes, that blows. Like, yeah, those are the words. Yep. I mean, those are the words, especially if you're the guy for the Bears who was taunting the crowd before the play, too.
Idiot.
Yeah. I mean, what are we doing out here, man?
What are we doing?
Who caught the pass was his man.
Oh, even better.
Oh, it was his man.
Yeah. Well, so instead of guarding his man, he went to where the ball is. He tipped the ball to his man.
Who
do they call that? Instant karma?
Tyreek Stevenson, yeah. You watch the film from the video from the crowd, and he's out there, like, you know, taunting the crowd and all this. The ball goes up in the air, and this gentleman catches it. It was unbelievable yesterday, man. That was a wild finish, obviously. But seeing all the, like Dan Campbell out on the field, like just looking for anybody to hug. Give me somebody. Give me anybody while I'm waiting. Like, it was just wild, man. What
Dan
a great
Campbell
play.
Flew to that game?
Not Dan Campbell.
Dan Quinn.
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Cut the G5 to Washington.
Would have been great.
Yeah. Where's the kneecap?
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.